Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's a special day on the British Tech Network because we're all here, and it's great to get to hang out with wonderful people. But also, it's excuse me, it is launch day for the M4 Mac Mini. And Dave Ginsberg is actually in an Apple store in Chicago right now.
Hang on.
And he's getting his new Mac Minis even as we speak. So live from Chicago, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm in a location, the Deer Park, Illinois location, just outside of Chicago. We're purchasing two Mac Minis. Got the first one, my M4 Pro is complete and with a trade-in. And then my second one's going to be the M4 with the base model as a second machine. And we're just going through the process now.
That's awesome. Now, for everyone that was here before the show, so in the pre-show part, they got to see the excitement of the Apple Store trying to figure out how to get their display to turn on.
This display right here.
Yep. And all right. So before we dive more into what you're doing, Patrice, how are you?
Very, very messed up, but very well. I'm fine. Fine in the very traditional. No, in the not very traditional, in the literal sense of fine. What it stands for, you know it. Freaked out, insecure.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, I'm okay. I'm just all over the place. I had very little sleep. So if someone pisses me off today, there's a good chance I might jump down the throat. I already did that earlier with one person who pissed me off. And I was like, sorry, mind your own damn business and go do your job and let me do mine. So could happen today. I had not a lot of sleep because I was working until like 2:30 in the morning. So.
Oh my God. Yes. All right, so note to self, we have feisty Patrice today.
Yes.
So Dave, how's the process going?
I'm still trying to figure out the serial number.
Do you want to show him how to do that? So yeah, so Dave showed up with his old Mac Minis to trade in.
It's right there too.
And they're in the process of testing. Well, they finished testing one Mac Mini. Now they're testing the second one.
Yeah. That monitor is very hard to see. It's a TV. It's not a monitor.
Yeah. All right. So you're there where you can be hands on with a Mac Mini.
Very much.
I am.
And what do you think?
It's pretty amazing. As soon as I finish this process, I'm going to go over to the display. We'll take a look at the Mac Mini. It's the tiniest. Yeah, one of our guys here is saying it's a tiny little thing. I'll put it in my hand and we can get firsthand knowledge of it.
That's awesome. And yes. Okay. So you got an M4 Pro. And an M4.
Yes.
All right. Why not two M4 Pros?
Second one's going to be just like a more of a test unit. I didn't feel the need for an investment.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Yep. Yep. Hi, Apple Store guy.
You're on TV.
I just had a $200 credit, so that's going towards it. So. This is going to cost me a whopping $198.52 after my trade and the card.
That's crazy. And also really cool.
We'll do the Apple card for that too.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's super cool.
You're actually going through a transaction here. All right. That's good. I didn't get my 3% on my Apple card.
Yeah. Oh, right, of course.
I mean, and for that amount, it's actually that does it up, right?
Hold on, I'll be right back with you.
No worries. Take your time.
This is how live broadcast works.
Yes.
Yep.
Live from the stream. Live from New York. It's Saturday night live. No, it's not.
That's right.
Well, I'm giving you my email address. I don't want the whole world to know that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Dave, they already do.
Wait a second. It's Dave freaking Ginsburg at gmail.com, right? That's what it is?
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
His alternate email is don't you know who I am at davefreakingginsburg.com.
Oh, I like that one. Actually, I like that one better.
Yeah, he uses that one on feisty days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So like today.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
So what watching the process has actually been kind of interesting because I mean the Apple Store, they know what they're doing, but it's been a string of technical problems on their side.
Yeah, it's just to good to see that it's process. Not just us.
Yeah. and watching Dave as he's doing what he does so well, which is help people figure out these problems.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling him, okay, well, have you tried a different outlet? And then when they finally got it working,
have
he's
you
like,
tried
okay,
turning
it's
it
working.
Off and on again?
Now you need to turn it on. And
now I'm going to do a separate transaction here to purchase the Apple Care because I do get a business discount on that. So I kept it separate. So.
Makes sense.
Oh, right. Okay.
So,
nice.
Hold on.
So, all right. Well, while Dave does that, I'm going to drop a link into our live chat with some info about the new Mac Mini, including stuff that I didn't realize, like it has modular SSD now.
Didn't it have it before?
I thought it was soldered before.
No, I thought there was, or maybe it was the Mac Studio. I think at least definitely the Mac Studio had it. Maybe the Mini didn't, because I remember that they had two slots for SSDs, and it was either one or two, and if only one was in, it was slow. There was a whole kerfuffle back then about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's like, oh, it's slow, and it's like, yeah, no, but it's because you were cheap and you bought the base model, it only has one SSD. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that means we got the teardowns.
Yes, it's well, sort of. At least from the article that I posted or into the chat.
Mm-hmm.
This is from 9to5Mac at 7:37 a.m. Pacific time when this went up. So as we record, that would be. An hour and a half ago, 90 minutes
Something
ago.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. That was actually really difficult for me because I was doing
math,
time zone math across three time zones in my head. And now I might get feisty. and apparently it's a faster SSD as well, even on the low end or entry level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm very
so
much
that's cool.
Excited about that. It's more power, right?
More power.
Yeah.
And
not that the previous versions were crap and slow. Like,
right.
They
okay.
Were really
yeah. More
not.
Power. Yeah, it's a relative thing now.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, the previous model was
no slouch.
Yeah. And I mean, Dave, he's trading in M1 Mac Minis, and those are still really good machines. So it's not like he was getting rid of computers that he just couldn't use anymore.
Yeah, I mean the M1s. I mean, I still have an M1 Max here, and I'm debating whether I want to upgrade, but I'm really having a hard time arguing for it because it's just doing perfectly fine. Even though I know that the new machines are massive, even compared to the Macs, are massively more powerful.
Okay, the purchase is complete.
Yay!
Awesome. Congratulations on your two Mac Minis.
Congratulations on your credit card, on your Apple card, weeping.
This is why Apple cards are made out of metal, because if
It's
they're
true.
plastic, they would melt
They
after
would literally melt. You're
transactions.
right. That is so true.
There it is.
Very cool.
Mac Mini.
It's, yeah, that is, I
Now,
mean,
and
okay, I
compared to
knew
your
how small
hand,
it
like,
was,
yeah, that's wow.
but
Well,
wow.
compare it to this, the Mac
is it
Studio.
bigger on the inside?
Right.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. No, this thing is tiny. I can tell you.
Dave, I don't know if you had a chance yet because you've been busy buying computers today,
Yep.
to see the info that's coming out from iFixit today.
Did not see that.
The SSD is not soldered to the logic board.
Yeah.
So it's
Oh, I
like
saw
the
you. I
Mac
saw that come through
Studio.
the feeds this morning.
Yeah.
So you wonder if you can upgrade it.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to the first press releases from companies offering third-party SSDs for the Mac Mini.
Well,
Excuse
right
me.
next to it, here's the iMac.
Ah, new iMac. Okay, what color is that? Is that just the silver
Here's
one?
that's a silver one, but here's the rest of them. There's the pink down there for
Yay!
Chase.
They pink, I love
Okay,
it.
it's actually
Can you
pink
ask when
pink.
we've not it will not answer when we will get the pink
Yes.
keyboards?
There you go. I think it had. Oh, it has the pink keyboards.
Yes, it does.
I see it right there.
Like, oh, I want that.
All right, I feel like the colors on the new Mac or iMacs are like legit colors. These they felt too washed
There you
out,
go.
too pastel before.
Yes.
But
I
I'm
mean,
feeling like
the pink was basically red. Pastel
oh
red.
right,
Like,
yeah.
yeah.
The colors are just weird before.
Yeah, now they're proper, especially the pink. Now it's proper. So, very cool.
Now I gotta go home and set them up.
Do that.
Right.
Next exciting part. But
Right. And
surprisingly, the store is not busy at all. There's like probably maybe five customers in this whole store,
yeah, I mean,
and
it's
it's
also
noise.
early in the morning, right? So.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. This isn't an app. This isn't an iPhone release. This is a Mac release, and I can't generally would not expect a huge crowd to come in the Macs right away anyway.
Yeah,
So.
some Apple stores, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, they're just always busy. And
But.
seeing Apple stores that don't have very many customers in
Yeah,
them
here you
right
go.
now, that's just so weird for me.
This is everybody here. Nobody here.
Okay, so Dave, spin back around for me. And that back wall there,
Yep.
the Dearborn store has the Apple Theater thing going on.
Yeah, they got this big screen here.
They took those out of the Apple stores in Colorado.
Really?
Wow.
Yep, none of them
Yeah,
have a theater anymore.
this store is slightly farther away from where I live, but the other store that I'm closer to is a mall, which I hate going into, so this is my home store. And plus the sales tax here is less. There's
Clearly
another
not. Oh,
reason.
there you go.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on your new computers.
I'll let you guys go to the show, and I'm gonna get out of here. And if I get home in time, maybe I'll go back.
Sounds
Sounds good.
great.
All right.
And thank you for being our man on location.
Yeah,
And
I thought it was a great idea, but the timing was absolutely perfect.
it
Yeah.
was absolutely perfect.
Yep.
Dave, you rock.
All right. Talk to everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's so cool.
Well,
Well, that
that
was
was
awesome.
really cool and really fun. Yeah. And after that, I'm feeling like, well,
So,
what else could we possibly do?
I don't know, but how are you doing? We didn't talk about that.
Oh, we
We
didn't.
jumped from me to Dave. So how are
Yeah,
you?
well, we had to mix it up. We were live on location with Dave Ginsberg. And yeah, I'm what is it the Norwegian saying? I'm upright and not crying.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm doing okay, and I did get more sleep than you did last night.
I hope so.
Although, yeah.
I hope so at least.
And
Yeah.
although I am having weather that you would not like at all. I mean, we had snow yesterday, and it's been cold, and temperatures fluctuating between two C and down to like minus two.
Oh my God. Awful.
And
Awful. How can anybody live in conditions like that? She says
well,
living in
if
Austria, but
you
okay.
yeah, well, Patrice, today I don't think you'd like it here at all. We've
This
already
is
hit our
fantastic.
high,
Yeah.
which is about one
Oh my God.
C,
Awful.
and
So about
and
30, what
what
is that? 33, 34 Fahrenheit, right? Or something like that.
yeah, 33.
Yeah, okay. Awful.
And yeah, and
Awful.
watching the weather radar, you can just see the big mass moving east to west.
No,
And
you get the big the weather radar looks at the weather and just says, nope. That's it.
right. Yeah, there's been lots of nope talk around here. And so as we record, we're about 30 minutes away from the precipitation starting up again, anticipating exactly what this storm is going to be. Pretty much every school along the Colorado Front Range announced last night they're not
Wow.
doing class
Okay.
today.
And meanwhile, the people in Norway or Finland, they're like, oh, sure, snows, who cares? We'll take the bike to the school.
Put your mittens on, take the bike
Yeah.
to school.
Exactly. Wow.
Yep.
That is
But
crazy.
I'm staying inside where it's warm.
Smart. Very smart.
Yep. So I'm doing okay. I'm warm. I'm dry. I have my tea.
For now.
And I'd say all is well with the world, but we know better than that.
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah.
That would have
And
been way too easy.
yep. So, yeah. But here we are. And I'm happy that I get to spend for me part of my morning with you.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that too. So, should we talk about? Oh no, we already talked about first story, right? The storage speed. Just thinking, should we talk
Right.
about something? We're like, oh yeah, actually, we should.
I did grab a couple stories from Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS because he's always so generous and lets us rib from him. So here's another one that I thought was interesting. And it's Apple is still working on sorting out its whole legal mess with Masimo so
Wow.
that
Okay.
like the rest of the world, Apple Watch in the US can have the blood ox sensor working again. And just to be clear, for those of you outside the United States, it's not all Apple Watches where the blood ox sensor is disabled. It's only Apple Watch 9 and newer that were sold after a court injunction blocking Apple from
And only in the US.
And
as well.
only in the US.
If you bought it
Right.
in Canada, which I know some people who literally bought it from Canada, Canada had it shipped to the US, and it shipped from the US to Canada and then back. So, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the way in the US to work around that right now. The problem would be if you need AppleCare on your watch in the US after you bought it in Canada, and you go into an Apple store in the US and they have to swap it out, you're going to
Yes.
get a US Apple Watch.
Correct. You will.
And Dave's trying to join us again.
Yes. Nice.
And he's trying. There
Here
he
we
is.
go.
Oh,
Hi, Dave.
our man in the field, ladies and gentlemen,
There we
Dave
go.
Ginsberg, on the road.
Please don't
Hey,
crash.
well, I'm not gonna have my camera on because it's gonna look at the top, it's gonna look on the top of my roof. So
Okay, then I'll.
you can hear me. I got it hooked in the
Yeah.
mic. I can hear you, and then just you know the website is down, so I would just went on the chat.
Yes, I'm actually
Oh yeah.
literally on the
Nope.
side working on that because the server is back. So I'm trying to
All right.
multitask.
Got it. So you got me audio only.
That's totally fine. We'll take it.
All right, Dave.
Thank
Well,
you.
you joined us as we were starting to talk about Apple and Masimo and Apple working to get a resolution in the US.
Yeah, we were
And
talking about the whole not available in the US, the blood oc sensor. I mean, kind of
right.
expected if you think about it. Now that the CEO of Maximo is gone, there is, I think, a pretty good chance that something is going to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with
Yeah.
you. Oh, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, when like we talked about this on InTouch iOS, but I'm glad to share it with our listeners here too. Yeah, I think the CEO definitely that's gonna be an issue with the company, and I have this feeling that this new CEO is going to probably be a little more forgiving with it all
Take
because
the
they're
money
missing
and.
out on a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, come on, negotiate it. You'll get some money out of the deal because you know you're gonna be selling millions of Apple Watches, and they'll get a piece of it. So. I mean, come on. That's why I didn't upgrade my watch because I still want that blood oxygen sensor, and I still have the Series 9, so.
Yep, and I'm sticking with my Series 8 until this is either resolved or I just simply have to drive to Canada to buy a watch or fly
Yeah,
to
right.
Canada.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe go visit Atlee while I'm up there. And but give him fair warning so that I don't end up buried in pieces in his garden. Because that's how it goes. All right. Yes, I'm with both of you. I think getting a new CEO could help get a resolution sooner. Because the previous CEO really felt to me like he was intentionally antagonistic, and not just towards Apple, but he really didn't want to work with companies or potential competitors, and was really
No.
driving to make these lawsuits happen. And then add into that the move where Masimo had to start producing a smartwatch simply so they could show that they were using their patents. So now they have a crappy smartwatch on the market, which ironically infringes on several of Apple's patents.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It does.
Yeah.
Give and take. That's what we got here.
Yeah, but I mean that's kind of part of the deal, right? That Apple is trying to get with them and say like, I mean, it's fine. Like we can like sell each other or like license each other's patents, and you get a big chunk of money out of that because, I mean, let's face it, we're probably selling more Apple Watches than you're selling yours, because that's kind of the point. So it's not gonna cost you much, but it's gonna cost us much, and then we're done. Like, where's the problem? But
Right.
they have to accept it, and I mean, there's no like unless it's a standard patent, which in this case it's not. Like, you know, LTE, 5G, all of that, they have to license it. They're enforced because it's a, what's it called? I don't remember. There's a
I
term
don't
for
remember
it.
the term either,
Yeah, but there's a
but
term for
yeah.
it. Yeah, people are probably screaming at their podcast players right now what it is. But yeah, I mean, literally, yeah. So some certain patents you have to license to fair on fair terms, of course. Like, everybody gets the same terms, but you have to license it to others, to competitors even. But not in this case. This is literally free market. If they don't want to license it, they don't. And that was the whole problem that Apple probably, I mean, probably, you know, Apple. They're also probably trying to not pay too much for it, and kind of, I mean, they have to balance it a little bit as well, because this is literally not the only thing that's in the Apple Watch, and it's also not costing 5,000 euros or dollars, something like that. So it kind of, they can't charge, they can just add and say, oh, it's gonna cost $30 per Apple Watch. That's probably ridiculous. Costs more than probably almost more than the Apple Watch itself costs, so to produce. So they can't do that, but they, as long as they can agree on something and say, well, look, we're selling whatever, 30 million Apple Watches in the US, or 10 million or whatever it is, and you get whatever, 10 cents, 5 cents, 1 cent per, that's still a lot of money if you think about it. And I mean, in
Sure is.
perpetuity, yeah, for every new version that they ship with that feature, you get another one. So, yeah, until they
And of
figure out
course,
another
Apple
way.
would work it so that it's only for Apple Watches in the US.
Of course, yes. I mean, that's only where it's valid, so of course, not worldwide. I mean, even that, I think they would maybe compromise a little bit on. If the price is low enough, they'll say, okay, we can do worldwide, but then it's only half a cent. Something like that. Like, yeah, okay, then overall, maybe it's the same amount of money, but it's easier to account for. Because they literally just take the total number, don't have to figure out. Well, Apple would know what sold where, but they don't have to disclose it to anybody. They could just say, well, we sold this many. Done. Here's your check. Like, go away. Yeah, they could. I think that's within the realms of. I don't know, but I don't know. I've never negotiated with Apple, so I don't know how they work and how they behave. But I can assume that would be not completely out of the picture and completely out of realm of possibility.
Now I've seen people questioning online for a while now, just like in forums and on social media, why Apple just didn't buy Masimo outright to make the problem go away. I have my theories about
Same
why
thing.
that didn't happen,
Same thing.
but I'd love to hear yours.
I mean, it's the same reason. In order to buy a company, it requires that the company wants to and wants to be and is willing to be bought. Or you have a way. I mean, sometimes you can just take over a company, okay, kind of an unfriendly takeover. Sometimes you can do that. Where that gets difficult is then because Apple is so big. So if they do an unfriendly takeover,
Right.
What's that? Which agency is that? The FDA? No, not the FDA.
FTC.
FTC probably, yeah, would step in and say,
FTC.
well, you're creating a monopoly, and we don't allow that. So that might, if it's unfriendly on unfriendly terms, that might be really bad for Apple. So they're probably more interested in a friendly takeover. And then, yeah, the question is, what do you do?
Yeah, hostile takeovers of companies is not
Hostile,
good,
yeah.
and it's
Yeah,
beyond the fact
happens
that
all the time,
it happens all the time, but
yeah.
it's also not good press, not good publicity,
No. Yeah, I mean, even Apple does it every now and
Sure, Apple
then.
look at that angle too.
Yeah, I mean, even Apple does it every now and then because, I mean, let's face it, they do sometimes takeovers where it's still hostile in a sense of they just offered so much money to the investors that they simply cashed out and said, well, okay, for that price, yeah, we're selling you all our shares. And whether the company wanted to get sold or not is like the people actually working there and the founders and so on. Sometimes it doesn't matter. If the investors say and they have enough shares, they say, well, we're selling you 60% or 51 is enough. Well, there goes your company, whether you want it or not. So that Apple does that, I think, pretty frequently, because that's normal in the business world. Sometimes, as I said, the people working in a company really want to be bought and sold. It's usually more investors or sometimes the C-level. So, yeah, but I said in this case, I think it would look really bad if Apple did try to do that. So I think they were literally just like, okay, let's throw money at it and hope that they take it. And they didn't.
Yep, and here we are. So maybe it'll go smoother with the new CEO at Masimo.
Maybe.
Let's hope.
Okay, another story. This one is about CarPlay and GM.
Again.
So General Motors, last year, I think it was, they said that they were going to stop supporting CarPlay and Android Auto in some of their cars. And apparently the plan is eventually this rolls out to all their vehicles. And it was controversial enough that we've talked about it here before, and I've talked about it on multiple shows over the past year. Turns out that GM has decided they need to explain to everyone again why using their own proprietary system is going to be much better than giving us CarPlay or Android Auto.
Yeah, and they again found absolutely no valid reason to do so.
No, they didn't. So what they're saying right now is that they really believe that they're going to give people a quote, better customer experience with another quote, end-to-end magic.
Oh my God. Good thing I didn't drink tea.
Yeah,
I would have just spit it all
right.
over this place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Dave, I'm glad
Trying not
you
to
already
choke.
knew about this quote
Oh my
because
God.
otherwise you probably would have just driven off the road.
Oh my God. End-to-end magic. Yes, it's all magic. No, it's corporate greed
Lots of
and
magic.
control. That's all it is. Like, why? Why are we even talking about that?
They want
No, I mean they can do
more
whatever
money, and
they want, right? Yes, Dave, go for it.
No, I said, yeah, they're right. They can do whatever the heck they want, and it's a good experience. Yeah, right. I mean, in that article I was quoted, Eric, around 79% of people were surveyed years ago saying that I would not buy a car without having CarPlay.
I
Yeah.
mean,
Who the hell wants to buy a GM product and be a CarPlay?
I mean, will they sell some? Yes. Absolutely, 100%. They will sell
I'm also,
a
for
few.
sure, because people, there's loyalty to the brands. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, and there's people who don't care about CarPlay too much. They're like, whatever, don't care. It's like, yeah, okay, fine, it's your decision.
They don't care.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we're talking as passionate Apple users, but even an Apple user who's not passionate about the technology, and they have an iPhone, and it is much easier to do it that way. Because now, what do they do to get their phone synced with that system? It's nowhere near as a good experience as with that CarPlay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, could it be good? Yes, absolutely. If they, I mean, there is some, I mean, you can argue about it, but some precedent, I've heard some people like the Tesla stuff. Fine, okay, doesn't have CarPlay, still seems to sell well. So yeah, there is precedent. It can work. Is it likely
Right.
with given GM? You make your own decision, but you know, I think what I
But
think. So.
Patrice, I'm going to broaden that statement
Okay.
and say it's not just GM, it's car makers in general. And there's a long track record of car makers failing to make a user-friendly and enjoyable interface for their vehicles.
Yes.
So, and GM clearly falls into this group as well. So why should we expect that now they're going to be able to offer something that is superior to CarPlay or Android Auto when they have years of proving they actually can't?
That, yes, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yes, you're right. There's not just years, decades worth of experience with, I mean, even to this day, there is like, look at the Audis and the BMWs out there, and you're like, and there's probably more examples that can come to mind. It's like, yeah, they've over and over and over proven that they can't do it. It's not that people wouldn't use, I mean, it's not that no cars out there come with manufacturer like provided software. Almost all of them do. There's a couple that use Android Auto now directly, completely, whatever it's called, Android, Google Automotive, whatever it's called, the OS that they provide.
Right, and they put their own interface on it.
Yeah, and they literally just customize it a little bit and configure it, but it's in the background, it's an Android basically. That is some manufacturers do that, but there, I mean, BMW, Audi, VW, that's what the Germans I know, probably also like all the Japanese, whatever, all of them have their own software. Look at it, think about it, how crappy it is. Most people literally never touch it, never use it, and just use CarPlay or Android Auto or whatever it's called. I think Android Auto is the
Right.
CarPlay, and the other one is something else.
Yes.
Yeah, so sad. Like, it's even to this day, 2024, almost 2025 at this point. And they still can't do it. Sad. I think Tesla is
Right.
one of the few where I would say, as much as I hate to say it, it's not completely crap. That's high praise from
You
me.
know,
It's not completely crap.
it's not completely crap.
I think we have a show title.
I think we found our show title. Yep.
Yes,
And
yeah,
re
you sure
related
did.
to it's not completely crap.
Yeah.
Well, GM, they did roll out this new interface. They call it Ultifi.
Oof.
And yeah, so it came out in the EV model of the Blazer first, and it was straight up crap, like horrible, like unusable. The whole system would just crash. And yeah, so that was the launch of their end-to-end magic. It was it was panned by reviewers.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I don't expect this to improve with GM. And all right, Patrice, another thing. You pointed out that I underplayed how long this has been a problem with car manufacturers, and you're right. I'm driving a 2013 Prius, so that was a year or two. A couple years before Toyota started incorporating CarPlay, and that in-dash system is it's horrible.
Yeah, and I mean that's 2013, so that's relatively speaking modern.
Well, 11 years.
About.
For cars, yeah, you're right.
That's a long time ago. Long time in the technology years.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
So, Yeah, so my Prius at some point is either going to get replaced because it's time to get a new car, or it's going to get a new head unit that is CarPlay.
There you go.
Because, yeah, I would rather rip apart my whole dashboard and replace the head unit than continue to deal with the hot garbage that interface is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't get it.
Agreed.
Yeah, and well, okay, well, I'm sitting here complaining about crappy technology. How about if I flip it over and say, hey, TSO host, thank you for not being crappy to us. No, that's a horrible transition. Oh, that's a horrible transition. But anyhow, here's the deal.
That
Oh,
was
okay. Well, yeah, here's the deal. TSO hosts, they are being super cool by supporting us at the British Tech Network. And they're doing that by taking the web hosting services that they offer and giving that to us so we can do what we do for you. It takes a lot of resources to do this. And so what they're doing is giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows to you every single week. And that includes cool days like today where Dave is our remote reporter in the field and is here
Yes.
with us. Technology's amazing.
It is.
And yeah, so they're giving us that bandwidth, and that, I mean, that's a big thing right there. They're giving us the hosting space, so there's a place for our website to live, and then they're also giving us the server space so that there's a place for all the show recordings to live, so
Yes.
that you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. And we really appreciate that they're here and supporting us. So thank you, TSO hosts, and hey, all of you, please go give them some online love. Just hop on your favorite social media and then thank TSO host for being here and supporting us. Easy and fast to do. So thank you, TSO hosts. And Patrice, thank you for all the work you put into modernizing our live stream and live chat system. And the new chat system is super cool. Do you mind telling people about it?
I don't mind at all because it's a really, really cool system. So we have, like, if you're listening, if you're watching this live, the live stream, then well, I don't have to tell you anything because you already are on live.britishtechnetwork.com and you probably already see the chat. So it's literally on the, if you're in a browser, like a bigger browser window, iPad, Mac, Windows, whatever, then you have it literally on the right-hand side of the screen. If you're on the phone, it's underneath. So it's literally where you see the window and whatever. It's like YouTube and everybody else is doing. So it's not secret. It's kind of standard these days. So then that's how you do it. If you want to watch us live, listen to us live. You can even listen to it and, like Dave is doing, and not watch us even. All you have to do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording, which is usually 4 p.m. UK time for this very show and 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Friday's 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and Thursday's 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. I should be precise about that. You know, space and time, and make it correct. The big show is about the non-Apple side of things. So if you want to talk about chip design or what's going on in space or cars, we've talked a bunch about cars and car technologies of all kinds, like autonomous cars and car, like all the like Google CarPlay thingies and so on. So there's tons happening there. Then that's the show for you. And yeah, if you want to change your name in the live chat, there's a little button up top where you can change it. But the auto-generated name is actually pretty cool. But let's say you are like you don't wanna talk to us. Sorry, you don't want to chat with us, or you don't want to listen to us live. You don't have time. You just don't want to. Totally fine. Like, we understand it. That's why we put it out as a podcast. Literally, all you have to do in order to like see what we talked about, because we have links to the stories we talked about, we have links to cool things, like all of that. And all you do to get to the transcript that we have is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then ask the very friendly chat thingy, the chat transcript calendar thing that's on that page for a date. Click on the date that you want to see and you will see the transcript for the day. And I say that Thursday and Friday, probably the best bets to click on because that's when the shows are. Yeah, and then you will see everything we talked about. And if you want to see today's, November 8th, 2024. That's today's date. So there's that.
It's awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. So now it's time to do some cool things. And Dave, since you're driving and in your car, am I correct in assuming that your cool thing is the new Mac Mini?
It's actually...
There you go. The Mac, all right. Yeah, the Mac Mini is definitely amazing. I can't wait to unbox it and report back. I'll be reporting back on my show as well as I'll be back on this show next week. My first week's of impressions. But yeah, that is a pretty amazing machine, I must say. And it was an interesting decision to which one I wanted to go with. And you could spend some serious money on this machine. But I think like you and I, Jeff, talked you thought the sweet spot was of the Mac Mini. I think for sure it's the M4 Pro. Mm-hmm. Even the base model, you have 512 gigs of storage and you have 24 gigs of RAM. And that's a nice sweet spot. But you can max this out all the way to 64 gigs if you want to. But you're going to pay for it. And, and Apple has always, in their ways of increasing this storage space, another $200 for 1 terabyte, another $400 if you want to go even higher than that, and it just gets really expensive. So my thought was, I've got so many external drives, especially some fast ones. I mean, with the three Thunderbolt 5 ports on the Mac, I can't believe I'm saying Thunderbolt 5, you're going to have some great experience just having external drives as your storage, really. And you can have them dedicated on with the machine the whole time. And now with the smaller size device and space, you don't have stuff everywhere. I can start cleaning my desk up. So it definitely could become, it could, I'm very tempted to make it my daily driver for what I do, because I have an M1 Pro, MacBook Pro 16-inch that I've been using for years, which is still a great machine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, that is a great machine, but so I think it's even the base model. It is the best bargain you'll ever get on any computer, for that matter. For $599 US to get a M4, which is a very good processor, and that starts at 256 gigs of solid state. Again, the same thing. You just use external drives, because like I said, all of us have external drives. $200 more, you can go to the M4 with the 512 gig. That puts you at $799, but still, that's still a great price for someone who wants to have a little extra storage that's on the device and not have to worry about the external so much. But yeah, I think Mac Mini is going to be a great machine for a lot of people.
Couldn't agree
that's
more.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gonna buy again. I want to buy a couple, buy two or three more. Yeah, you go.
Could not agree more.
I'm gonna put beta on the put. I'm gonna put beta on the M4 right away.
That's so cool.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, how about you?
Well, mine is a new version of a tool, a very trusty tool that I'm literally using all day, every day, because it's running in the background all the time, and that is Hazel. And there's a new version. Hazel 6 came out fairly recently. I don't remember, a couple of weeks I think it's been out. And yeah, they have some really cool new features, like documents you can handle better. For example, you can now give it, if you have encrypted PDFs, for example, you can give it a password before, so it can decrypt that thing if you need to. There's reverts. You can do revert files, I think, in Finder now. So if Hazel moved something, did something, you want to revert that, literally in Finder, you can do that. They have like list attributes, so you can create lists, which I found really helpful. I used that recently for something where I was like, it's either, I think it was file extensions. So I'm like, it's either this or that. And instead of having complex rules with like, oh, is it this or is it that or duplicate a rule, whatever, I'm literally like, okay, if the extension is in this list, then match. That's it. Super easy. So really cool. It is an upgrade you have to buy, I think. If you haven't bought it fairly recently, from basically if you bought it within, I think this year, you get a free upgrade, or if not, it's $20. So it's quite simple. $20 for the upgrade. If you want to buy it before, if you have not used it, it's a really cool like file automation tool. I literally use it for like Retro Rewatch, for example, where I'm like, I have special folders. If I drag something into them, it will trigger Hazel, and Hazel will, I don't know, send it for processing or generate it triggers a shortcut that then generates like social media, like files out of that and so on. So I do a lot with Hazel, and it's a really good tool. Highly recommend it. So it's six. If I think it's
I love
42 if you
Hazel.
buy it.
I love Hazel. I've had it since its beginnings. It's that I that's an awesome, cool thing. I just upgraded myself, and yeah, it's totally worth it.
Absolutely. Yes. There's a family pack. If you have five family members, it's $65. It's 42 for the single license, but if you just need a family pack, it's not that much more. So if you haven't bought it yet, otherwise it's just $20 to upgrade. That's my cool thing. What's your cool thing?
Very nice. My cool thing, by chance, dovetails nicely with yours because
Ooh.
mine is Alfred 5.5.
Nice.
And I'm calling out version 5.5 because this is the version that adds support for macOS tall trees. I know a lot of people that use Hazel and Alfred together. Alfred, its big thing is letting you create hotkeys to do all different kinds of things. I use it for my on computer searching because it gives me a superior experience to what Apple's Spotlight Search offers. And then it has all these features for you can do automations in it, which you can also do in Hazel. You can build your own sort of like snippets. So you can do like different sort of text expansion things, but you can set it so it's like for specific apps. So if there's certain things you do in certain apps all the, or type in certain apps all the time, you can just set those up so they're like hotkeys basically.
Very cool.
And this is all stuff you're doing like for free. And then if you pay for it, then you get a ton of other features on top of all of that. So it's like the powerhouse partner for Hazel.
Very cool. Yeah, I love Hazel and I love Alfred. Both great apps.
So
Very cool.
yeah, there you go. So you can put all of our cool things together. Go buy
Oh,
your
yes.
M4 Pro Mac Mini, then install Hazel and Alfred on it, and then
Yes.
you have like the ultimate powerhouse
Yeah.
machine.
I mean, literally, that's what I did. I just sold my Mac Mini, but I had literally Hazel running on that, with together with like iCloud Drive and OneDrive to do a ton of automation. So like, because it's always running, could do things whenever they happened. So literally, so absolutely, buy all three.
All right. So, it's now time to wrap up. And Dave, you're a man in the
Yes.
field. When you're not on location giving us live coverage, where can people find you?
You could find me at the Apple Store, but usually you can find me at InTouch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on here on Fridays on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, and Mastodon is DaveG65 at mastodon.com.
Awesome. All right. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show and on the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Every Thursday on the Big Show, every Friday on the Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast I keep mentioning. If you're hearing this for the 15 millionth time, then good for you. If you haven't heard before, we have a show called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro TV shows. Shows that I love and have seen a million times and Jeff has never seen before. We usually, at least right now, we're rewatching Stargate SG-1, but we're in the middle of the mid-season cliffhanger. So we posted last week the Summer of Fun episode from The Big Show about Mythbusters, where Jeff and I talked geeked out about Jeff's brother. And this time around, or this week, we're publishing the one about Battlestar Galactica, where I think a certain Dave Ginsberg and a Chuck Joyner were joining us to talk about that during the Summer of Fun on the Mac Show. So we're cross-posting a little bit, but it just fits so well with our theme that we were like, yeah, we should do a supplemental and kind of prolong the cliffhanger a little bit, so that you get to experience the anguish of not having a new episode coming up right away.
What it really comes down to is Patrice wanted me to be able to experience what everyone else did 27 years ago when these shows were airing for the first time and they had to wait to see what came next.
Exactly. That's literally what I wanted.
And it totally worked.
Yeah. And of course, next week we'll continue then with season one, episode 16, whatever that was, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember right now either.
I could look it up. Season one, episode 16 was Korai. Yeah. So
okay.
go listen to the Battlestar Galactica episode and then go watch it so that next week you can experience it with us.
Yeah, I had thoughts and opinions on Korai.
Well, that's not a surprise.
No, it is not a surprise at all.
And a few hypotheses too.
All right. Okay, so where can people find me? Social media, Jay Gamut, pretty much everywhere. I'm posting on Mastodon and Instagram. Then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. And Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we dropped an episode today of Retro Rewatch. So with
Yes, we
that,
did.
hey, thank you to both of you for being here and giving me a little bit of happiness today, which is something we all really need. And yeah, and Dave, going the extra mile, quite literally, by going out to the Apple Store and joining us on location as you're getting your new Macs. That was super cool. So thank you
It
for
was a
doing
lot of
that.
fun too.
And yeah, it was cool getting to be there with you, and then in the pre-show, watch you help the Apple Store people troubleshoot their technical problems.
Patrice missed that.
I did.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you to all of you for being here. I'm so glad that you are here and part of this with us. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being a part of this well or as well. I'm glad you were here, even though it's time shifted. We're all part of the same family, and it's just great that you're joining in. And that family, hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Tioso Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And now, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And all of you, have a wonderful weekend.